Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
EMS got in there quickly. They called for a chopper. The helicopter landed at Old Spring School.
A domestic dispute in Johnson County has left one man in critical condition.
A special judge has been assigned in the case of a Rowan County judge accused of leaving the scene of an accident.
Kentucky has its first deaths from flu so far this season.
The Martin County Water District has shut off water throughout Martin County.
Today was the last day to register to vote for the November election.
In sports, there is more district tournament action tonight in high school soccer and volleyball.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 67 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Rowan County judge has been summoned to court on misdemeanor charges, and a special judge has been assigned to preside over the case. District Judge Willie Roberts was involved in a March 10th hit-and-run accident on Interstate 64. According to the criminal summons, Roberts is accused of leaving the scene of an accident after rear-ending a woman on the eastbound I-64 off-ramp in Moorhead. The victim in the case tells police that she called 911 after the accident, but Roberts left the scene. She was able to obtain Roberts' license plate number, which allowed authorities to track him down. The state Supreme Court assigned a judge to Roberts' case on Friday. Judge David Hagerman retired from Boyd Circuit Court last year. He will preside over the case in Rowan County until it is complete. No date has been set for Roberts to appear. Judge Roberts currently presides in District 21, which covers Rowan, Bath, Menifee, and Montgomery counties.
A Johnson County man had to be airlifted to the hospital after a shooting. The Johnson County Sheriff's Office is investigating the Monday shooting in the Hargis community. Deputy Sheriff Terry Tussey tells EKB-TV the altercation was between a stepfather and stepson.
This morning, Johnson County 911 received a call of a possible shooting in the Hargis area of Johnson County. Upon my arrival, went inside the residence and there was a man laying on the floor with a gunshot wound. At that point, EMS started on standby. They followed me in. EMS got in there quickly. They called for a chopper. The helicopter landed at Old Spring School, the old Old Spring School.
The stepson has been airlifted to the University of Kentucky Medical Center and is in critical condition. The names of the men have not been released.
Lexington police patrols have increased around Jesse Clark Middle School this week. That's after a man allegedly attempted to lure a Lexington Middle School student into his truck on Monday. According to a letter sent home to parents, the man was driving a low-riding red truck with a light-colored camper. He pulled up near Mill Pond Road and Winthrop Drive, opened the passenger door, and told the student to get in. WKYT reports the boy then ran home and told his father, who called the school. School leaders say children should never approach a car they don't recognize and to immediately contact a parent or trusted adult if they suspect any danger.
The Wheeling, West Virginia man who vanished at Grayson Lake has now been missing for more than a month. Richard Lee was boating with his family over Labor Day weekend. When they docked the boat, Lee began walking around, and that was when he went missing. No trace of Lee has been found, but his wife, Leslie, tells WSAZ the family is trying to remain optimistic.
There's always that hope. Since they've not been able to find anything of his, then there's that hope is still there that somebody has picked him up, or he's still, you know, in a hospital and we don't know about it, or in a shelter or something.
Lee reportedly suffers from dementia. If anyone has knowledge regarding Lee's location, they should contact the Kentucky State Police.
Kentucky has seen its first flu death of the season. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The Lexington Fayette County Health Department has confirmed one person has died from the flu in Lexington. That marks the first flu-related death in Kentucky so far, as experts warn the Commonwealth is in for a tough flu season. Last season, state officials reported around 10,000 cases of the flu and more than 300 deaths. Health leaders are urging everyone 6 months or older to get a flu shot. Those who are 65 or older are most at risk from the flu. I'm Haley Hansen.
Following days of repairs that have left people in Martin County without water, new issues have led to mainline breaks, leaving the entire county without water. The Martin County Water District posted on Facebook that the issues they were having were fixed, but then several main lines were compromised. Officials say they are working to make repairs, but do not know how long it will take. A boil water advisory will be in effect for the entire system once service is restored. Officials with Martin County Schools tell WYMT they dismissed early today.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Today was the last day to register for vote for the midterm election in November. Kentucky voters can register online with a driver's license, or they could take an application into their local county clerk's office. Round County Clerk Kim Davis says this year she's seen a lot of new voter registration.
Everybody that comes in, that's moving in, new residents, we as the office are asking everybody if they've updated their voter registration. I've put ads out, you know, to update your voter registration, put it on our website and posted, you know, when the last day was. So, you know, awareness is the main thing that we want to get across, is that, you know, you need to be aware of where you're voting and where your voting precinct is.
Registration closed a little over half an hour ago. Davis says absentee voting will begin tomorrow in Rowan County.
Morehead City Council voted to sign on to a resolution urging Kentucky lawmakers to support coal miners. Kentuckians for the Commonwealth Representative Alvin Madden-Grider spoke to the council during Monday night's meeting. He says despite the recent rise of black lung disease, Congress has made cuts to the fund supporting afflicted coal miners. The resolution urges lawmakers to restore those cuts.
So it doesn't mean additional money or fees or anything. It's just a matter of stopping those cuts from going into effect. And then that way, make sure that that fund has enough money in it so the taxpayers don't have to take the burden of caring for those miners.
Madden-Grider says the city of Benham, the city of Jackson, and Breathitt County have also added their names to the resolution.
The Morehead Fire Department held a push-in ceremony for its new ladder truck at the downtown station last night. The ceremony was a throwback to a time when horses pulled steamer engines to fight fires, but were unable to back the engines into the station. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says his crews have been training with the new ladder truck for a couple of weeks.
A lot of our drivers trained on it and went through the maintenance side of it. The biggest thing is it drives a little different. It drives a lot better, but it does have the way it maneuvers through town. Is you just really got to watch your mirrors and your cameras and everything to learn how to drive it correctly.
The $1.1 million truck has been in the works for more than a year. It will now permanently be located in the city's downtown station.
A Republican senator wants to highlight injustices toward African-American minorities in the juvenile justice system. Senator Whitney Westerfield spoke to lawmakers on the Interim Joint Judiciary Committee in Frankfort last week. That has drawn attention to the issue in past, and he says he plans to in 2019 during his bid for state attorney general.
You can find some very difficult, challenging numbers in various parts of the state where we see a disproportionate number of youth of color in the system. It is out of proportion to their share of the population. Shouldn't be that way.
Westfield Senate Bill 20 would have studied the reasons for disproportionate contact between minority communities and law enforcement, but it did not pass in the 2018 legislative session.
Big Sandy Community and Technical College has been awarded a grant from the Economic Development Administration. The $2.5 million Advanced Manufacturing Technology Grant was awarded to three KCTCS institutions in total. Dr. Sherry Zilka is the president and CEO of BSCTC. She says the money is meant to help communities severely affected by the declining coal industry.
In the short, the grant will provide resources for each college to offer the training program to 3 cohorts, 15 participants each semester in the spring of 2018, up to 60 participants per college over the 2 years. And it just will allow us to upgrade our labs, to write curriculum, to get people in the jobs that are out there and get them hands-on, real-world experience.
The Commerce Department, which houses the Economic Development Administration, expects the grant to create over 260 jobs in the region.
A Mason County High School family and consumer sciences teacher has been chosen to serve on the board of directors for the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. Shannon Roberts is the advisor for the MCHS chapter of the organization. Roberts recalls why she became an advisor for the Mason County High School chapter of SCCLA.
I actually was involved in FHA in high school, which is the former name. So I was an FHA student, leaning more towards the leadership and service aspect. So I gained so much through high school thanks to FHA. It has taken me far beyond what I ever expected to in my life.
Roberts says she ran for election to provide a voice for her students and to provide an advisor's perspective on the board of directors. She hopes to help provide programs that will help prepare FCCLA students for the next step in their lives.
A new program is coming to Morehead State Public Radio. The show, Big Band Boulevard, will feature music from famous big band artists like Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller, Artie Shaw, and more. MSPR Operations Director and host Greg Jenkins says he's always wanted to do a music show centered on the genre.
That music from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s kind of era. I played in big bands in high school and studied music in college, and it's just something that's kind of been on my radar to maybe do a show. And this was a great opportunity to kind of fill that void.
Big Band Boulevard will premiere on WMKY at 90.3 FM on Sunday, October 14th at 6 p.m.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 66 degrees. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours, thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, highs around 79 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy in the evening, then thunderstorms developing after midnight, lows around 66, chance of rain at 90%. And on Thursday, thunderstorms in the morning will give way to partly cloudy skies late, highs near 70 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg, 80 degrees, Lexington, 84 degrees, Winchester, Inez, and Ashland, it's 83 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's currently 82 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a Rowan County World War I hero is being remembered with a day commemorated in his honor. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Corby Ellington is one of 15 Rowan County veterans who fell in battle when the United States sent troops to France to fight in World War I. Recognized for his valor, American Legion Post 126 in Moorhead is named in his honor. But according to Rowan County Veterans Museum curator Bill Bolin, the story behind Ellington's service had all but been lost until recently.
This all started when a new member asked me who was Corby Ellington, and I asked around and nobody seemed to know other than the fact that he was our namesake. So we started a little historical search, started at the with the university. We went to the Kentucky State Archives, and we had a lot of people that would give me little tips.
Tracking down information about Ellington initially proved to be challenging, but after more than a year of research and gathering materials from state archives and other sources, Bolin says the threads of Ellington's life slowly began weaving themselves together, starting with how the Legion Post in Moorhead got its name.
There were 15 veterans of World War I that set up the Corby Ellington American Legion Post. And in doing so, they unanimously agreed that Corby Ellington should be their namesake.
Ellington was conscripted into the Army on October 3, 1917. While undergoing training, he made his last few visits home.
We have records where that he came home during his training, and he married a young lady by the name of Hannah Smith. And she was from Bangor, Kentucky, which is under the lake now, Cave Run Lake. He was actually from Yale, which was from the other side of the road, but is also now under the lake.
Ellington wouldn't make it to France until April 18, 1918. After serving 6 months on the ground as an infantryman, he fell in battle.
October the 12th, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was going forward in a charge when artillery bombardment from the Germans killed him and another man in his group and injured several others.
To honor his sacrifice, local and state lawmakers have set aside October the 12th to be observed as Corby Ellington Day from now moving forward. Boland says there is a strong collaborative effort to make Corby Ellington a household name in the region and to make the event named in his honor one of the largest celebrations of the year.
We're working with other people in the community to make this a day that will be equal to Freedom Fest or equal to Arts and Eats, those types of festivals. But we'll always have the actual ceremony at 10 o'clock a.m. on October the 12th because that is the day that he died and the time that he died, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, is the same as 4 o'clock where he died in France.
The inaugural ceremony will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. at the Corby Ellington American Legion Post in Moorhead. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 4:46 and 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this fantastic Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
It's district volleyball action tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The 63rd District Volleyball Tournament begins tonight at Lewis County High School. Russell is currently ranked number one in the region with a 27-2 regular season record. The Red Devils open play with Greenup County tonight at 6. Raceland and Lewis County face off at 8 p.m. In the 62nd District, West Carter beat Elliott County and East Carter swept Morgan in the first round of play last night. East and West will face off for the championship tonight at 7 p.m. The cross-county rivals met twice during the regular season. The Lady Comets took home 2-2. And here in the 61st District, Rowan beat Bath County 3-0, and Fleming swept Menifee last night. The winners will meet up tomorrow at 7:30 for the championship game. In the 62nd District soccer action last night, East Carter's team beat Greenup at Morgan County. Both the girls' and boys' teams at East swept the Musketeers 10-0. Tonight, West Carter faces off with Morgan County. The girls' game is set for 6 p.m. with the guys to follow at 8 p.m. The winners will advance to the district championship games on Thursday. Over in the 63rd District, Ashland's Kittens took down Boyd last night at Russell 4-0. They will face off with the host school tomorrow at 6 p.m. In boys' action, Russell beat Ashland Blazer 5-1 and will face off with Boyd County Wednesday at 8 p.m. And here in the 61st District, Rowan's teams took down Menifee last night in Fleming County. The Vikings won 10-0 and the Lady Vikings won 7-1. The teams from Fleming and Bath County will face off tonight. The girls play at 6 p.m. and the boys will follow at 8. The winners will advance to the Thursday night championship matchup in Fleming County. After getting back on track with a win Saturday, the Rowan County Senior High School football Vikings must prepare for another tough game this week. The Vikes played Boyd County during their homecoming game Friday, getting the shutout 41-0. They are now getting ready for a matchup with Johnson Central, and head coach Kelly Ford says his team needs to play clean.
You know, guys, you know, get caught every now and then holding, but, you know, it's part of the game, and, you know, we can't have those type of penalties going against us when we start playing good teams like Johnson Central rolling in here next week.
The Vikings host Johnson Central Friday at 7:30. The Morehead State University football team will be working on some adjustments this week as they prepare to face Davidson. The Eagles fell Saturday to PFL opponent San Diego 51-34, a game where Rob Tenier says there were a lot of missed opportunities for their passing game.
You know, we just got to make plays. We got to throw it a little sooner in the progression, you know, and that's one thing I shared with Lawson early in the game today is, hey, this doesn't need to be a 55-yard pass. You know, you don't got to throw it 50 yards in the air. Let's get it up. Let's make some plays. We got two or three flags today on pass interference, and that's what it's about. You know, it might not be a completion, but it'll be big penalties and get something out of it, change field position.
The Eagles will play Davidson in North Carolina at 1 p.m. on Saturday. From the SEC, Alabama's fans can't take their time getting settled in for the start of the games. They might miss a touchdown or two. The top-ranked Crimson Tide has consistently jumped out with quick scores and big early leads. The 6-0 Crimson Tide is averaging almost 21 points in the first quarter of all their games. And Alabama coach Nick Saban says cornerback Trayvon Diggs is out indefinitely with a broken foot. Saban said that Diggs was injured Saturday during the game against Arkansas. From the NFL, Alex Spanos, who used his fortune from construction and real estate to buy the Chargers in 1984, has died. He was 95 years old. The team announced in 2008 that Spanos was suffering from dementia. He eventually stopped attending games. The Kansas City Chiefs got a sixth primetime game when the NFL moved their home game on Sunday, October 21st, against the Bengals to the night slot. The Chiefs are the only one of two 5-0 teams, along with the Rams. Bills rookie starter Josh Allen is gaining a mentor after Buffalo signed Derek Anderson today. The Bills announced the move today after Anderson visited the team's facility. The 35-year-old has a 20-27 record over 12 NFL seasons and spent the past seven serving as Cam Newton's backup in Carolina. And the New York Giants have waived former first-round draft pick Eric Flowers and signed tackle Brian Malik off of their practice squad to replace him. The team announced the moves today, a day after coach Pat Shurmur said Flowers would either be traded or waived within 24 hours. The father of a blue-chip basketball recruit testified today that an assistant coach at the University of Louisville gave him a secret payment of $1,300 as part of a deal to get his son to sign with the school. At a criminal trial about corruption in big-time basketball, Brian Bowen Sr. described meeting assistant Kenny Johnson two separate times in 2017 to try and collect cash in violation of school and NCAA rules. The Reds are continuing the search to fill their vacant manager slots this week, WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Two candidates are being interviewed by the Reds organization this week. Reds.com reports Hensley Mullins and Charlie Montoyo are joining the list of potential candidates. Mullins was the bench coach for the Giants this season and spent the previous eight seasons as San Francisco's hitting coach. The 51-year-old has never managed in the major leagues. Montoyo was the bench coach for the Rays this past season and has been with the organization for many years, spending 18 seasons with their minor league affiliates. Reds president of baseball operations Dick Williams said in September that the club hoped to have a manager named by the end of the month. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And lastly in sports, Game 4 of the American League Division is set to take place this evening. After their 16-1 victory last night, the Red Sox led their series over the Yankees 2-1. A new record was set during the game with Boston's second baseman Brock Holt becoming the first player to hit for the cycle in postseason play. Holt spoke with TBS after the win.
Is that the first one ever?
Yes!
I was kind of thinking. I was wondering if there ever was one. But
now you know.
It was a fun night. You know, offensively, we were clicking on all center cylinders, put together a lot of good at-bats, and it was fun.
Game time this evening is set for 8:07 in New York. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer is in action this week for their last two home games of the season, hosting Tennessee Tech Friday night at 6 and Jacksonville State at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Volleyball is also in action, hosting Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after a choppy session as investors grappled with rising U.S. interest rates, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 56.21 at 26,430.57. The S&P 500 was down 4.09 at 2880.34. The NASDAQ Composite managed a small gain of 2.07 at 7738.02. The NASDAQ was no doubt helped out by the strength in big tech today, as shares of Facebook and Amazon rose 0.4% and 0.3% respectively. Netflix was up almost 2%, while Apple stock gained 1.4%. The benchmark 10-year Treasury note yield rose to its highest level since 2011 before slipping, and the longer-term 30-year bond yield hit its highest mark intraday since 2014. The recent rise in interest rates comes as investors brace for the upcoming earnings season, which starts later this week. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Walgreens are among the companies set to report. Overall, analysts expect corporate earnings to have grown by about 19% in the third quarter, according to data from FactSet. Earnings grew by 25% in the first two quarters of the year. And, of course, earnings being in focus today, one of the worst performers today was PP&G Industries, an industrial coatings manufacturer, which fell more than 10% after actually lowering its third quarter earnings guidance, citing pressures in terms of costs of their raw materials as well as currency fluctuations. And in the commodities markets, oil finished with a gain of 0.75% at $74.84 a barrel. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,193.50 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, the Stock 600 index finished with a gain of 0.2%. In Asia, though, most bourses were lower, with the Nikkei down 1.3% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.1%. A notable outlier in the Far East was the Shanghai Composite, which did finish with a gain of 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and Chevron, while the worst performers were Dow, DuPont, and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Pioneer Natural Resources and MGM Resorts, while the worst performers were PP&G Industries and Packaging Corporation of America. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 267 at 79.69, CSX down 15 cents at 74.61, AEP up 20 cents at 73.05, AK Steel down 12 cents at 4.80, Marathon Petroleum down 11 cents at 83.75, and U.S. Bancorp was up 3 cents to finish at 53.96. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where quality candy is their business, online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Celebrating more than 90 years in business, Ruth Hunt Candies is Kentucky proud with traditional Kentucky confections, including Woodford Reserve Bourbon Balls, Jameson's Chocolate, Blue Mondays, and an assortment of cream candies, gift baskets, and Kentucky-made gifts. Online ordering and shipping through Facebook at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, first responders in Carter, Elliott, Greenup, Lawrence, Lewis, and Rowan counties are invited to a high-voltage safety meeting. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. tonight at the Grayson RECC headquarters in Grayson. Sponsored by the Kentucky Association of Electric Cooperatives, the meeting will review procedures involving electricity during an emergency. The event is free and dinner will be served. For more information, call 606-474-5136.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music invites you to a community square dance at the Rowan County Arts Center. 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 10th. Make new friends, learn to square dance, or just enjoy the music. Admission is $3 and free to students. All ages and ability levels are welcome.
Moorhead Chapter of the Order of the Eastern Star is hosting a spaghetti supper and silent auction on Friday, October 12th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Moorhead Masonic Lodge located on West Main Street. Tickets are $5 and free for children under the age of 5. Dinner includes spaghetti, salad, bread, dessert, and a drink. A vegetarian option will also be available. Tickets may be purchased at the door. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Peyton Stewart, Brian Courtney, Chanice D. Davis, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.